Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, Guilty Feminists. This is Deborah. I'm going to do my stand-up comedy show that had a sold-out run at the Soho Theatre one more time before Christmas. And it will be at the Etc. Theatre in Camden Town on Monday, the 20th of December at 8 p.m. COVID-safe regs, obvs. So if you'd like to see the show, some people said they want to see the show again, or if you didn't get to see it and you'd like to see it and you're in London or can access London, it will be Monday, the 20th of December. Also, I will be at the Choose Love store in London on the 19th of December, between 3 and 5 p.m. They're ready to sign your books, ready to make a little I'm a Feminist But Christmas video with you, take a selfie with you, sign something for a friend for Christmas, bring your Guilty Feminist books in if you want to give anyone a present. And while you're there, why not buy something from Choose Love for a refugee to keep them safe, warm, and fed this winter? The Choose Love pop-up holiday shop is at 3 Carnaby Street, London. So I really hope to see as many as possible of you there. If you can't come on Sunday the 19th, please pop in another day and buy something for a refugee this Christmas. If you can't, then go to choose.love right now and buy something online. On the 16th of December, we are doing the Guilty Feminist Presents Campers Christmas. Tom Allen and I are hosting this fundraiser show for both the Say It Loud Club, run for and by LGBTQ refugees fleeing homophobic oppression, and Can Do Action, which is raising money to alarm Syrian schools from airstrikes. Tom Allen and I are co-hosting. Self-Esteem is in the house. The musical sensation of the year. She's doing a 20-minute acoustic set. Sandy Toxfig's joining us. Russell Tovey, Raven Smith, Jessica Foster Q, Jen Brister, Travis Alabanza, drag queen, Dozer Cat, Celia A.B., Grace Petrie, and newly announced Susie Ruffle is joining us. Where else will you be able to see all those people on the same bill? Nowhere in the world, ever, in the history of time, I suggest. So get your tickets now. There aren't many left, and you can see why. All proceeds to those amazing organizations doing wonderful things this winter. Don't miss the show of the season and make your Yuletide gay. And now, speaking of Christmas, our UK tour starts on the 5th of March. We are going all over the UK. We are sure to be coming somewhere near you. We're also going all over Australia and New Zealand in July. So check out the links in the show notes or go to guiltyfeminist.com to find out where we are coming near you and when, and get tickets for yourself and other loved ones, feminists in your life, as Christmas or other holiday presents. I'm so excited to be able to be back out on tour, coming to you, being near you. We will make sure all the shows are COVID safe, depending on where we are with restrictions. And we really can't wait to be back in the room with you celebrating feminism, comedy, and all things Guilty Feminist. And we have some new podcasts from the House of the Guilty Feminist. One is Absolute Power, where John Bercow, former Speaker of the House, each week explains a different piece of our democracy to us and how we can use it better. So he will deconstruct, what is a private member's bill? How could we get one through if we wanted? What is the House of Lords? Why are they there? What's the advantages of having a non-elected House? What's the democratic implications of that? And he is so knowledgeable and so funny and entertaining and engaging. I really, really, really enjoy talking to him. You may have seen him go viral this week if you're in the UK, because he was on Good Morning Britain talking about the podcast, and he had some pretty incisive things to say about Boris Johnson and this current government. So check that out online if you haven't seen it, but mostly check out the podcast Absolute Power. And also, MediaStorm got a rave review in The Guardian this week. It's Matilda Mallinson and Helena Wardia, two brilliant investigative journalists who are going to research stories and give voice to those who are normally not asked by the press, even though they might be at the heart of a media storm style story. And it is genuinely something I am extremely, extremely proud to present to you. Every single concerned citizen, activist, feminist in the world should listen to Media Storm. I promise you, if you listen to one episode, you will absolutely be hooked. So please subscribe to both of those podcasts. They're new from the House of the Guilty Feminist. And the more that you subscribe, rate, review, engage, share, the more other podcasts we'll be able to bring you and make for you. Please feel free to leave us suggestions of other sorts of podcasts you'd like us to make, but support these as much as you possibly can so that we have the opportunity to make more. And now on with the podcast. Live from King's Place in London, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Frances White, and Grace Petrie, talking about her new album, Connectivity. Hello, King's Place! Are you ready for The Guilty Feminist? Are you ready for Grace Petrie? Then please welcome to the stage the incredible Grace Petrie and Folky Ben Moss!
Heart. And if it sinks, my darling, then close your eyes and think of when. Again next year. This world is unfamiliar now. It's turned us all around. A sailboat in a hurricane, and nothing's bolted down. And whichever way you turn, there is no sanctuary in sight. No path to some safe harbor in the night. But I am sailing right beside you. I am just out of arm's length, willing you remember you are raw of iron strength. And I am hanging my tomorrows on the bones of yesterday. All I can do to make it through today. And when my heart sinks, my darling, then I fill my lungs and I think of when. When you'll be in my arms again. There's a storm here to weather. The thunder's coming near, louder than ever. And we don't know where to steer. And though we can't be together, no matter what, my dear, I will love you forever. And we will dance again next year. I will love we will dance again next year. So best foot first and hold on fast, and do your worst, this too will pass. And when it does, I'll be there to fill your glass. And there's a storm to weather.
There's a storm here 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 to weather. There's a storm here to weather. The thunder's coming near, louder than ever. And we don't know where to steer. And though we can't be together, no matter what, my dear, I will love you forever. And we will dance again next year. I will love you forever. And we will dance again next year. I will love you forever. And we will dance again next year. I will love you forever. And we will dance again next year.
Thank you very much. Grace Petrie, everybody, and Funky Bumbles.
Grace, that was absolutely wonderful. Really wonderful. Come and sit, and Folky Ben, please pull up a chair as well, because we will want to ask you questions. Grab a mic, Ben, because I don't want you to feel left out of the conversation.
Oh, goodness me. Shall I give you my... I'm a feminist, but I'm handing my voice over to the man.
No. Come on, let me see if I can grab you another mic, just in case we want to ask you what it was like to be in lockdown with Grace.
Oh, bloody hell. Don't give it to him.
Yeah, what was that like?
That sounded quite leading.
What was it like being in lockdown with Grace?
What was it like being in lockdown with Grace?
Best and worst things, Ben.
What a room to be in, to answer that question. No, it was genuinely lovely.
Oh, God, there was a long pause there, wasn't there? Any annoying things?
Do tell.
No, we were surprised. I think Grace is actually my current housemates are in tonight, so I shouldn't say you were the best housemate I've ever had. She was a very good housemate.
But you very much have just said that. So
yeah, God.
Sucks to be those guys.
Cool.
Top three, certainly, by the sound of it. You accidentally got locked down together, didn't you?
Yes. I was kind of house hunting just around the time COVID hit. Well, we were on tour in Australia and then we kind of flew back directly into lockdown. So I ended up in just the best possible circumstances.
Yeah,
I can
absolutely
assure you.
Yeah.
A lot
better, because you would have been alone otherwise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you hadn't had this little fiddler.
This little fiddler. This little fiddler of fiddling.
Yeah.
I know, I would, and I do, you know, there are a lot of things you can accuse me of being, but an introvert is not one of them. So I think I would have really fucking struggled if I'd have been locked down alone, to be honest. I have so much respect for people who manage lockdown alone. I would not have been good, I don't think.
No. I mean, I wasn't alone. I was with Tom, and I still completely lost it. For the first month, I was not myself at all.
Everyone...
It was hysterical.
It was a weird time. Like, how quickly it was... I mean, I suppose it feels like so long ago now, but how quick it was to go from, like... I think the first day of lockdown, I was like, you know, at 9 a.m, I was like, this is okay. I'll download Duolingo. I'll learn French. And by like 10 p.m. that day, I was like, I'm going to shave my head. I'm texting all my exes.
Will you
slow down?
And how is your French now fluent, I assume?
Mon Dieu.
So that's what this song is about, Storm to Weather. You wrote this about the lockdown, the pandemic. And I think it was a brilliant response because we had you sing it on a Zoom show because that's all we were legally allowed to do. Mm. And I remember just crying and crying when I was listening to it because I was... The lyrics of We Will Dance Again Next Year, I Will Love You Forever, We Will Dance Again Next Year. I remember just thinking, you know, when it seemed so unlikely that we would ever be dancing with anyone again. And it just seemed so far away. And I remember that feeling, that song was so poignant and sentimental at that time. And if anything, coming out of lockdown has slightly ruined it. I mean, it's still an excellent song. It's a banger, don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
But it will never have the same poignancy as it did at that time for me, where I remember I just played it over and over again because it wasn't out yet.
Yeah.
But we had captured it with the magic of podcasting. Mm. So I was playing our sort of rough and ready copy of it because I just felt like it was... And I said, you just got to get this out there right now because this is going to go to number one because it's just what we're all feeling. And I felt like it was just, it is, for me, it will always be the song of the lockdown.
For me too, yeah, for me too. And I was really, it was hard to, because most of my career I've written songs about politics. And I've always had this issue where it's like things age so quickly when you're writing about politics. And, you know, earlier on when I was in my early 20s and stuff, I would do a lot of like really lo-fi DIY recording. And, you know, this album, we spent so much more time on it and, like, quite a lot more money on it. And I do think the result is I'm really happy with it. But if I had one regret about it, I do think, I feel like I wrote that song. I'm, like, talking to myself. It's like words of comfort. I was comforting myself, like, through this really horrible, unprecedentedly scary time. You know, it was, like, the longest I've gone without hugging my parents, you know, in my entire life. And I was like, this is what I need to hear. I need to hear somebody say to me, like, there'll be a day that we dance again and it's going to be okay, you know, and like the love that we have for each other is going to, you know, overcome those sort of boundaries and barriers. And for me, it's like me telling myself this little sort of lullaby, and it's so lovely to hear that other people got some comfort from it as well, you know.
And do you know what? Every single year, there is something that makes us feel disconnected, stressed. This is a song that will endure because you can personally be having a storm to weather. You know, politically, maybe we'll come into some kind of nirvana period in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, it could be. By nirvana, I do mean sort of grungy and angry. I don't mean heaven. No matter what is happening politically, you can be having an extraordinary time personally and a terrible time politically, or vice versa, or you know, when they both morph together.
Yeah.
So I think this song is going to endure. And I think it's a wonderful song for feminists as well.
I hope so. Yeah, I mean, we've been on tour for the past like 5 or 6 weeks or something. And I have been saying, when I've been introducing that song, I've been saying basically that, which is like, obviously, in the first instance, this is a lockdown song. But also I have grown to think of it as like a protest song as well, because I do feel like there's so many like socialists and feminists and progressives out there who really feel at the moment very, you know, storm battered, basically, and feel like they're in the middle of a hurricane and they don't know when things are going to get better. So it's sort of, I hope it has that sort of dual meaning.
Yeah, and I do think it's going to come into its own again as climate change worsens. In terms of,
fingers
I
mean, crossed.
I'm always thinking about the long game, you know.
Silver linings, silver linings.
I said
linings.
That to Ben in the studio. I was like, "This is the pension plan, buddy.
Yeah, this is the yeah." As the sea rises, because the music video is literally you and the
they're
ocean.
They're so conflicted. They're laughing. They're like, "This is horrible."
Yeah. This is the kind of dimension and edge you're going to get in your comedy at the Guilty Feminist from now on. You made the music video in an ocean. If you
I did.
Don't mind me saying.
No, I don't mind. Are you leading on to what I said about my...
Oh, I'm not.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But
Then let's move on.
I thought that was a private conversation, Grace. But no, do tell them all. No.
I really would rather not.
Is this an I'm a Feminist butt that you've got for us? Because we could lead in. We could lead in.
Okay.
All right, go on. Do your I'm a Feminist butt.
Some context, right.
No
The
context.
Guilty Feminist is... always full of incredible comedians. I am not a comedian, and I always feel very comedically out of my depth. So when I come here, I'm always like, oh, they're going to ask me to do I'm a Feminist Butts. So I was racking my brains, and backstage in the green room, Deb was like, oh, have you got any I'm a Feminist Butts? And I said, I can't believe I stitched myself up with this, bringing it up. The video for this song involves me playing the guitar in the ocean off the coast of Norfolk. It was incredibly cold, and I was quite concerned the nipple area. I don't need to say anymore. So I'm a feminist, but in the video for Storm to Weather, which you can look for on YouTube if you want, and the reason that it
will
is...
will now.
Well, the reason that there's nothing to be seen is because I'm wearing no fewer than 8 layers around my chest. In the sea off the coast of Norfolk. So you heard it here first.
Just give us a cheer if you've seen the video. Not enough people have seen the video. It's absolutely brilliant. We should have played it on the big screen tonight. Actually, it's phenomenal. Grace stands in the ocean and is continually knocked over by waves while playing this song. And many, many questions came in from your fan base about whether the guitar was harmed in the making of this music video.
The reply guys really came out in force.
Yeah. No
guitar. The fate of that poor guitar.
Yeah, there was, I would say, the ratio of... This is the first single from the album, first music I've released in, 3 years. New single, new video, big splash.
Big
and I would
splash.
Say the ratio of interest in the song versus inquiries about the health of the guitar was about the sort of 1 to 2. You know what I mean? Yeah. So doing a great job out there.
So, yeah.
PR wizard.
The RSPCG were up in arms. That's all I can say.
It did, in case I don't think I ever was the kind of musician who would want to destroy guitars on stage like a rock band, like The Who. But I feel like I did some thorough market research on whether my audience would be fucking into that, and I learned that they would not. Absolutely not.
I'd love to see you one night, just as a sort of really lovely folk music show, just at the end of just smash your guitar up in protest. Yeah. But if you could tell you how you could do it, if you wrote the patriarchy on it, then they'd accept it. So these are just suggestions. Okay, I'm going to do a quick I'm a Feminist Butt, and then we should hear another song. I'm a feminist, but I advertised this show, to be fair, only today, as Grace Petrie and I will be in black tie tonight. I thought, she'll see that on Twitter. I don't know. That's how I think Grace comes to gigs. I see her a lot in black tie at gigs. You know, she might be in a waistcoat and jeans or something, but she wears a black tie and a white shirt. She's got a touch of the dinner jacket about her. That is just how she lives.
Is that like being a friend of Dorothy?
Yeah, a touch of the dinner jacket about her. It's what they said in the 40s in Hollywood. I walked in tonight in a full dinner jacket, if you're living in America, a full tuxedo and heels. And I walked in and she was in a flannelette shirt and jeans. And I went, what are you wearing? I thought we were going to be both in black tie. Now look, I look like an overdressed tit. And I realised, as I talked on and on, having not seen her for some months, that I had black tie shamed Grace Petrie.
I did, yeah.
For the record, for what it's worth, I was already in London when I saw that tweet. And I did try to source my usual formal attire. And what I can tell you is the M&S Boys department, age 12, in London is not as well stocked as it is in Leicester. That's
not
all
as, it's not as well stocked as you think. Well, this
it's true.
This leads us OB18. On. This leads us on to your next song, I think.
Thank you.
I don't know how, but I'm going to find a segue. No, your next song, tell us about it. What made you write it? Now, I advertised tonight as a series of songs from Grace that we would talk about, and I advertised them as protest songs and
sapphic love songs.
Sapphic love songs, yeah. Yes. Angry feminist protest songs and sapphic love, yeah. Love songs.
It's my Tinder bio.
This is one of your sapphics.
It's one of my sapphics.
It's a classic sapphic.
It's probably the most sapphic as they get, actually, in the Grace Petrie catalogue, I'd say, this one. Yeah, this is like the classic Taylor's Oldest Time, lesbian meets straight girl. They become friends, but there's always a bit of a, like, will they, won't they, a bit of a grey area, and it's just a tale of those sort of friendships that you sort of end up in. It actually got played by Joe Wiley, our mutual friend Joe Wiley, on Radio 2.
Yes.
And we had a tough time getting it on Radio 2 because... So I swear a lot in my songs, and actually not that much on this album, but in this song only, I think, there is quite a prominent dick. And
but surely Radio 2 can manage a dick. You know,
Radio 2 could not manage a dick. You know, there was all manner of things. They were like, we went back and forth about it, and they wanted to cut the line, and they wanted to cut the first verse, and then there was even...
Were you singing this live, or were they just bleeping it?
No, they were just... There was an issue about the length of the song as well, so they were going to maybe cut the beginning off, and then at one stage, it was discussed that I might go in and re-record the line to change it from what a dick to what a pig.
Oh, my God.
And I stood my ground... with artistic integrity, because I do, I think, you know, sometimes you do.
Sometimes you just got
it. You just need a dick, do you know what I mean?
I never thought I'd hear you say that, Grace.
No, well, it's been a formative pandemic.
So, so you went in and you stood your ground, and did they allow the dick in the end?
They just bleeped the dick. So they kept the D and they sort of kept the K. I think you can really tell it says.
So they allowed the D and the K, but not the I.
Yeah. There's no I in dick. Not a Radio 2. That doesn't even make sense, does it? Why do I think I'm out of my depth comedically here?
Listen, I'm glad our license fee is going to such really important issues.
Oh, yeah.
I absolutely love this song. It's classic Grace Petrie. It's funny. It's witty. It's a song that you don't hear about. You just don't hear this stuff in song. You hear sappy love songs. You hear angry love songs. You hear this, but you just don't hear this particular take. So take it away, Grace Petrie.
Thank you very much. So on the record, actually, Ben, who is such an incredible, give me a shout if any of you saw any of our like live stream lockdown gigs. Cool. Well, if you did, then you'll know that he's an incredible multi-instrumentalist. And so on the radio, on the track, in the studio, he actually played like banjo on this song and it sounded amazing. And then he played fiddle on this song and it sounded amazing. And then he played mandolin on this song and it sounded amazing. And then it came time to play it live. And we were like, oh, fuck. We've only got one at Folky Ben. So we have sort of come up with a slightly different arrangement, which involves the old mouth organ. But the sentiment, I hope, is the same. All right?
Yeah, it looked like I was sort of reaching out to you there, but I was just kind of...
It did,
just sort of stretching my hand.
What are you doing with a downward facing dog while you're out there? Fucking hell. Another Friday night when your plan A has fallen through. A Tinder date that sounded great was too good to be true, I guess. Besides love of adventure, sense of humour, zest for life, he just forgot to mention the new baby or the wife. Yeah, what a dick. The
there's no need to be lonesome when you've got the next best thing. So you block him on your socials and you give me a ring and say you're in need of some sympathy, some sushi and Netflix. You know I'm always free for dinner when they bail on you at six, and I will be the best I can. I will be the best I can. I will be the best I can. You won't choose me over the last man on earth. And how am I back here again? I've learned so many times that I've run out of melodies and I've run out of rhymes, and I know this way lies insanity. I've seen it all before, but I know next time you need me, I'll be right there at your door. And I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. You won't choose me over the last man on earth. And after all the chasing, when you're tiring of this life and you pick the least worst option and consent to be his wife, I'll plan the hen do in Chicago. I will be there at the altar and you can be my Santiago if I can't be your Peralta. But I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. You won't choose me over the last man on earth. Sometimes at last orders, when we've both had too much to drink, and you look at me for too long in a way that makes me think you sometimes wish that things were different, and it sometimes makes you sad that I treat you better than the best boyfriend you've ever had. And I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. You still won't choose me over the last man. And I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. You won't choose me over the last man. And I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. I can be the best I can. You won't choose me. Darling, don't you know you'll never lose me? Not to the last man on earth.
Two instruments, folky Ben over there.
Have you got another lesbian love song for us?
I do, yeah.
Well, then don't sit down.
So I do. I mean, in many ways, that's really all I've got to sell is lesbian love songs.
No, you've also got the feminist anthems. Yes. You've also got the feminist anthems.
That's
you've got
true.
The political anthems.
Yeah, I mean, nothing if not a two-trick pony.
Both great tricks, though.
Okay. We'll talk about this after. It's called IKEA. A big fan of flat-back furniture in the house. Sister, I see you.
It's Wednesday evening in IKEA. There's just two kinds of people here, and in my life I've been both.
The new team's at the starting line, committing to each room design like it was a permanent oath. But that's not me. I know these aisles, and you can spot the ones like me for miles. There's no good-natured arguments on taste. I have no need to compromise these days. There's no one saying we've been here too long, and I get exactly what I want. It's Wednesday evening in IKEA, and everywhere I look in here, a new team's trying to make themselves match. Those couples sharing meatball tea don't notice all the ghosts like me back here alone and starting from scratch. But spare a thought, but for the grace of ever disassembling shared space. Now there's no good-natured arguments on taste. You know I have no need of compromise these days. There's no negotiations to concede, and I get exactly what I need. What I need. And to those optimistic lovers picking duvet covers, I wish them all the best from the bottom of my chest. And if they follow the instructions, there's no reason their constructions really shouldn't last. But who am I to ask? Because mine all fell apart, and I'm right back at the start, hoping I've not lost any fundamental parts. And I'm sure I will remember how it all fits back together, 'cause I know I'm not inadequately skilled. It's just some things take two people to build. It's Wednesday evening in IKEA. There's just two kinds of people here, and in my life I have been both.
Thank you very much.
Come take a seat, Grace. That really gave me goosebumps. I've listened to that so much. I think it's so beautiful.
Thank you very much.
But hearing it live, there's something about it. I could see how moved the audience was. I could see people really... And I could also see some women holding onto their partners like... Like, frankly, they were a handbag in a crowded marketplace. It's like, don't leave me. I don't want to be back in IKEA on my own. I saw that happen. Is anybody crying? I feel like I can see. Who's, just give us a cheer if you're crying. Oh, isn't that lovely?
That's the aim, folks.
Yeah, but it's good. It's cathartic sort of crying where we're allowing out old emotions that we kept in at the time because we're dysfunctional. That's why we need you. Can you tell us anything about that song? Because I've been longing to know.
Yeah.
Did you come up with it in IKEA?
Yeah, it's about as true as it could get, you know.
Well, you were walking around IKEA after a breakup thinking, yeah, I guess I need an ironing board. Now she took it.
Yeah, and I was honestly, you know, like I say in the song, I was looking around and there was just... All I could see was like these, you know, really optimistic, sort of clearly quite new couples, you know, who are like filling their new spaces and like imagining their kind of shared life together. And not to sound too embittered and cynical, but like you can remember being them and thinking there's no way that it's ever going to go wrong. And also you can sort of see the like, you know, hope of like new love in that. And then it was just people like that And people like me fucking wandering around being like, I guess I'll get another fucking Billy bookcase. You know what I mean? Here we go again, you know. And I really was. I was looking at some, I can't remember what it was, but I was looking at some furniture. And you know, I don't know how familiar you are, all are with IKEA, apart from my one enthusiastic friend in the crowd. But they have, obviously, because it's all like translated into all these different languages, they have the little cartoon on the labels. They have these two little cartoon figures to sort of like show you how many people it needs to build. And I was like looking at this thing I wanted to buy, and it was just this label on it of these two figures just sort of smiling. And I was like, I mean, that's no good to me. There's no one at home to help me build this shit. Do you know what I mean? So it was very, it came about very organically and authentically, yeah.
I really love it because I love the metaphor of the you know, some things need two people to build. And it's just so, it's really, really beautiful. But I'd never thought of that before, that when do you go to IKEA? You go to IKEA when you're moving in with somebody or when you've moved out from somebody and suddenly you go, oh, well, they've kept the baskets, or, oh, I've got a slightly smaller bed now, so, you know, I need new sheets. Or, and what was that? You don't watch it because you're the first one. Which one? Oh, you're in the optimistic new category.
There's every chance it'll go great. Don't judge me as your template.
I mean, yeah, how long have you been with your partner?
I think you're good. Sounds like they're in it for the long haul, you know.
Are they with you, though? Where are they? No, your partner. He's at home minding the baby. You're fine, stick with him. I think it's really beautiful. And I also, with Last Man on Earth, I think, you know, as I said, I've just never heard that sentiment before in a song about a woman singing to another woman. It wouldn't matter. You can't come to this place. Or at least you think you can't, or you probably can't, or I don't know if you can. And it's...
You sound like you're on the persuasion there. At least you think you can't, but maybe you can.
No, you know what I mean.
Until you've tried it, you know.
Well, that's the thing is you don't... And I think in those situations, you don't quite know. I mean, Hannah Gadsby once told me that most lesbian encounters fail because women have been socially conditioned not to make the first move. So she said, often, two women fancy each other, but neither of them ever leans into the kiss. And so... All I'm saying to you, I'm not saying hit on your single friends. That's poor advice.
I've done them all. There's none left.
You haven't hit on me. We were on tour together.
You just didn't notice.
we were on tour together in Australia as well. Who was more fun to be on tour with, me or Folky Ben?
Oh, that is like asking me to choose between my children.
I'll take the hit here, Grace.
No, I'm kidding. Of course we were
equally fun. Next Australia tour. Guilty Feminist featuring Folky Ben, you know. Why not have that ice cream sandwich?
Are you organising a throuple tour?
I don't know. You're asking who's
bitten that? Yeah. You know.
I mean...
Well, listen, this is something to be spoken about in private.
Yeah.
And on a WhatsApp group. This is, let's make a WhatsApp group and just call it Throuple Tour. Ice cream sandwich, that's a great name for the group. So,
he's blushing.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Morphing out of the sapphic sad songs into a more feminist anthem activist place, what is your next song for us?
So we're going to do, it's called Some Days Are Worse Than Others. And it's interesting you would call it it is a feminist activist song. When I got interested in politics and when I got started writing songs about politics, it was 2010, it was like the new conservative coalition government, and I was in my early 20s and I was writing so much, you know, it was such a politically fertile time, I think, I was part of that student generation, you know, who were protesting against tuition fees and at that time, you know, there was like Occupy Wall Street and Occupy St. Paul's it felt like for those first few years of the Tory government, it felt like we were sort of, there was a new demonstration or a new march, you know, like almost every month, you know, there was more stuff to write about. And I really do, I mean, this is a joke I used to make on stage, but I really did used to think, you know, this is it. My generation is going to be the one that changes the world. And then I sort of found out that my generation wasn't the first generation that thought that, folks. And
it's not us anyway, it's Greta.
It's Greta. But you know, and basically, you know, now I'm 34 and I wrote a lot of this record, obviously, in lockdown. And I think it was easier to write in a more honest way, I think, because I wasn't gigging all the time. And it was easy, I think, to sort of put the idea that anyone would ever hear this stuff kind of out of my head a little bit. And it's just the kind of honest reflection, I think, of like settling into the idea that like this is a lifelong fight, you know, like all of these politics, all of these things that we fight for, like this is a very, very, very long game. And like some days you won't have the strength to get out of bed. You'll feel like you won't have the strength to keep going at all. But on those days, hopefully there are other people who will feel more energized because we're a very big team, you know, and like it's just about that. I mean, I don't want to make it sound cynical because I really don't see this song as cynical at all. But I think it was just like that thing of like coming to meet myself in my mid-30s and being like, yeah, you know, like there are teenagers who are coming up and they have this amazing political urgency and it's right that they do and they have so much energy and I'm in awe of them, you know, and I think it's great and right and true that there are like kids coming up and writing, you know, new political songs every month, and I'm sort of here going, you know, yeah, I think I'm just, in lots of ways, I'm not doing as well as I could be doing politically. I'm not doing as much as I could be doing, but also I'm still here and it's got to count for something, you know? Does that make sense?
It really does, because Amnesty International say all the time when I'm an Amnesty ambassador, and they say all the time to us, like, it's a long game. We think of it as a decades-long project. Like, you can't... If we thought, well, if we don't get this political prisoner out of jail by the end of the year, we failed, then we wouldn't be able to keep going. Like, the whole point is you're trying to shift the dial and shift the direction, but they're trying to kind of shift the compass from north to northwest, because you can't force the people with the power to relinquish it, but you can influence. And, you know, there have been activists in Calais on hunger strike for how they treat the refugees. And finally, the French government. I mean, it's so, so, so brutal. Mowing down, evacuations every day, mowing down the tents, slashing the tents, pepper spraying. I've been out there, they've been like pepper spraying children's sleeping bags, stealing children's shoes because they're trying to make it a hostile environment. I mean, it's really, really brutal. And they've just said yesterday, because of the activism of people, local people there, they've just said no more forced evictions or surprise evictions, surprised evictions, and they will find housing for people. And the French government... Now, look, remains to be seen exactly what is done and how it is done. Let's not take our eye off the ball and go, oh, well, that's fixed. But it just... those small things do show me, ultimately, you can shame powerful people and you can shift the dial a bit. It feels... It doesn't... You know, look, we've got the vote, which we didn't have, and that's because of somebody's vision. We've got all sorts of social provisions, which we didn't have, which is somebody's vision. So your song, I think the thing about this song for me, which I've listened to a lot, I don't find a cynical song at all. I found it, again, a song I'd never heard before, which is a deep understanding between people who are trying, and that just, it just spoke to a place in my heart that had been unseen and unnourished. And when I first listened to it, I was like, oh, this is like Bob Dylan. I really did think that. I really did think, I haven't heard a song like this since Bob Dylan used to write this well. I mean, he's not doing his best work now. It's all right. He's very old. Please play this song that I'm waxing.
She giveth with one hand.
No, since he used to write brilliant songs. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying, I'm saying Bob Dylan hasn't written anything as good as this for probably, I don't know how long. So if he hears this, he's going to be well jailed, is what I'm saying. He's going to be like, ah, I used to be able to write like that when I was young and angry and hungry. Yeah.
I'll send him some guest lists to the next tour. You never know. Yeah. Come and neg him a bit. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I might start just atting him. He's not anywhere. He got offered us some kind of massive prize. What was it? Like a peace prize? No, it was a Nobel Prize for literature or something because of his lyrics or something. He didn't turn up. He didn't even respond. I don't think he's going to come to your show, is what I'm saying. Anyway, if you are someone who feels like you try, but there are days where you feel discouraged and but you need to keep going, this song is really going to speak to you. If you cried during IKEA, get the old hanky out. That's all I'm saying. Take it away, Grace and Ben.
Why I brought my guitar in. It's time for yet another instrument from Folky Ben. Yeah. I know, is there no end to his talents?
Okay.
Yeah.
Used to think I'd change the world if I could write a song good enough to make you see the truth. But everything I touch has turned to ruin and gone wrong, and I can't believe the arrogance of youth. And I know the world is turning when it feels like standing still or slipping ever backwards by degrees. Feels I'm always dying on the least productive hill. I haven't even planted any trees. And all my chords, all the mighty major chords, you know they couldn't move the House of Lords. And all I felt, all the pain I ever felt, you know it never stopped the ice caps melt. Some days this world makes me hide beneath the covers. Some days are worse than others. I used to think my heart was so reliable and strong, steady neath your feet as frozen ground, believing all the promises of poetry and song. I never dreamt how far I'd let you down. And I know I am remembered for the shattering of dreams, never all the times I held the roof. Our fossilized worst moments held forever in extremes, and I console myself with versions of the truth. For all I gave, all I told myself I gave, I really thought that I was being brave. For all I swore, ever steady, evermore, it comes to nothing if you're keeping score. Some nights I can answer the charges of those lovers. Some nights are worse than others. Used to think my stories were the place I could be known, told them without having to pretend. Now finally old enough to see that I'm not fully grown, I see that I don't know how they will end. The skins I shed, the roads I tread, the ways that I have fared, they've turned me into someone not the same. Some days I feel the anchor of the years that we have shared. Some days I can only feel the change. And it washes off. Yeah, it all just washes off. And my arms will always be too soft. And I understand. Maybe I finally understand that I might never know just who I am. Some days I still wake up jealous of my brothers. Some days are worse than others.
Some days I still wanna hide beneath the covers, wonder how we will recover, search the eyes of friends and lovers for a sign of my true colors. Some days are worse, some days are worse than others.
Thank you very much.
I think that's the most extraordinary piece of work, and I think the lyricism in it is just stunning. And does anyone else think that sounds like Bob Dylan? Yeah. Yeah, and it really means a lot to me, and there are days when I play it because I need to hear it. And I don't think we speak enough about the fatigue of it. Mm. It does seem particularly difficult at the moment when there's a great Victoria majority and they're pushing through some really frightening bills. And some days are worse than others. But I feel like that there are times when we need to hear that in a song, and there are times that we need to hear something rousing. Mm. That pushes us forward and gets us out of bed. You know, those days that we really feel we can't are rare, I think, for most of us. I think most of us go, you know, we just have some kind of moment like that, and then, you know, we sort of get back up. The whole album is called Connectivity. Mm. Why is it called Connectivity?
Just, you know, I think the theme that sort of runs through all the songs is something that obviously became very apparent in the pandemic, I think, is or in lockdown, I should say. We need connection with each other. And I think that's sort of ultimately, it's what the whole game's about for me. You know, I think that's definitely why I do what I do. It's definitely why I was sort of drawn to being a musician. And, you know, I think the politics that have instructed my whole life are about connection. You know, it's about compassion and having communion with each other and recognizing that all we've fucking got in this world is each other. Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree. Mm. And I think it's, you can either think every man for himself and every woman for herself and every person for themselves. Thank you. That's right. The right-wing person was Priti Patel all along. Or you can think, what all we have is connection and all we have is each other. There's a line in one of your songs that's about connecting with your audience, in which you say, I'd rather have one lonely heart. Is it have one lonely heart?
I'd take one lonely broken heart.
That's right. I'd take one lonely broken heart over
100,000 streams.
Is that true? That was the one note of inauthenticity that came off that album for me, having lived with you and travelled with you and played with you in various cities around the world.
It is, the line is actually 100 million streams. I take one lonely broken heart over 100 million streams.
I thought it was 100
million.
So what
I can say is 100 million streams on Spotify gets you about £2. I'm exaggerating, but not by much. So I would take one lonely broken heart over 100 million streams, but 100 million record sales is a different thing. Entirely, King's
Keep
Place.
Keep your lonely broken heart at that point.
Yeah.
Because...
Everyone's got their price.
Because old champagne socialist Petrie over here is moving into Primrose Hill.
Hey.
Grace, are you touring?
Yes, we are still on tour. We're like halfway through the UK tour, but there's a bunch of gigs left, and then actually touring in the spring as well. And we have a Christmas show at Bush Hall on the 18th of December, 2 days after that show that you're coming to.
Proper lefty Christmas.
Proper lefty Christmas, indeed.
That's an annual tradition.
And also, for the people in the room, there is, sorry to say this, Champagne Socialist Beatry. There is, you can get the album outside, and there's also T-shirts and stuff out there as well. Because
go and get
what
merch.
What would a socialist folk singer be without the capitalism of the merch store?
Well, listen, you've got to make your own... Listen, Karl Marx sold his fucking books, I'm sorry. And he didn't believe in intellectual property, but somehow he had a publishing deal. That's all I'm saying. We all need to... Listen, you can't float above a capitalist society.
Karl Marx sold his fucking books.
Yeah, he did.
Brilliant.
He wasn't eating grass, was he? If you don't think Karl Marx enjoyed an expensive drop while he pontificated about... I mean, come on. Come the fuck on. All of those men with their high ideals, at the end of the
he
day...
He would have been right out there in the foyer, wouldn't he, with a sum up, Karl
oh,
Marx.
Oh, come on. And he wasn't as lovely as you. He would have been a big old, you know, throbbing cunt, let's be honest. He would have been. You know that he was.
It's taken a turn, hasn't it?
You know that he was. No, he was a blokey
a
man.
A big old throbbing cunt, that was.
That was maybe a bit harsh, but... Not really. It wouldn't have been. I'm telling you, he wouldn't have. He's not. He wasn't a. I'm telling. He wasn't.
What, might you say a proletariat twat?
Nice. Buy the album.
You can cut that out of the podcast. That was a pretty bad response.
If you don't have the album, buy the album. It is beautiful, and you haven't even heard half the songs on it. It is absolutely stunning. But there are songs that you can just listen to over and over and over again, and you get more out of them every time. Whether you are feeling sad, roused. Needing to be roused? No, like rabble-roused, not aroused.
Not aroused.
No, I'm not saying aroused.
You can listen to it if you want to be aroused. That's got a niche kink, though, I think.
I don't see any of your songs currently as the soundtrack to a porno, but listen. But the next song...
Don't underestimate me.
Folky Ben, do you have anything to plug before we talk about the next song and the final song?
No,
follow Folky Ben on
that
Twitter.
Isn't true. Can I just interject? Ben has a beautiful album of his own called Lost Lands. You can hear him on Spotify and you can get it at Bandcamp. It's Ben Mossfolk and it's incredibly wonderful. Don't you sit
Thank
there
you.
Saying I've got nothing to plug. Goodness me.
I just follow Grace around mostly and do what I'm told.
Yes, this is the kind of beta male feminism needs. Now, listen, he is supporting the fight. I'm loving that with his modesty and his lack of willingness to tell us about his own work. Ben, thank you so much because you helped us get through lockdown as well. You two were our house band on all of our Zoom Guilty Feminists, or nearly all of our Zoom Guilty Feminists, and it was just wonderful to have other people on the Zoom with their friendly faces and bringing what they brought. And you always brought joy and comedy and always the most moving songs. But one week we said to you, we were doing, was it a live stream that we were doing? And we said, we need a song.
No, but you didn't say we need it at all. It was just that we were due to do a Zoom, Guilty Feminist. And it was the week just after, a couple of days after the Sarah Everard vigil on the Clapham Common, which, as we all know, ended in horrific police brutality. With what we now know about Sarah Everard, that sort of kind of cuts even deeper, I think. And we were talking about the Police and Crime Commissioning Sentencing Bill, which is essentially, as you said, the Tories with their enormous majority are moving to basically completely take away some fundamental fucking human rights. That is what's happening right now in this country. We were talking about the bill and we were talking about the vigil. And I was going to do an old song. And it had been, you know, it was obviously, you know, people were discouraged, just to sort of cast your minds back, people were discouraged from attending the vigil for Sarah Everard, and people were encouraged to light a candle. And I felt like, you know, in the aftermath of so many of these, unfortunately, far too frequent instances of violence against women, you know, I'm on Twitter a lot, and in the aftermath, there's always a kind of outpouring of trauma and grief from so many women and non-binary people and communities who were persecuted by the police. And I had this idea, I just got this line in my head, which was, don't tell us to light a candle, we've come to start a fire. And so I wrote this song in like 45 minutes before the Zoom, and we ended up playing it. And I, poor old Ben, this is what lockdown was like for him. I was like,
I've had less notice for songs I have to play with you. 45 minutes I can work with, that's fine.
I was like, it's a new one, roll with the punches. And he was brilliant, as always. And so with this is what we came up with.
So this is the last song you will be hearing tonight, but it's not the last you'll be hearing of Grace Petrie. Please go and support her on tour. She wrote this in 45 minutes for The Guilty Feminist. Now, I don't want you to then think, oh, it's not going to be any good. But I do want you to think, how good can it be? Because when you hear it, you're going to be like, oh, fuck me, she's talented. And Folky Ben for pulling it together. But what would lockdown have been without you two and Frank your gorgeous songs?
But I'd also like to say, honestly, what would our lockdown, I don't know what it would have been without the Guilty Feminist Zooms, obviously. You know, and honestly, knowing like that people were out there, you know, it was, as I said, the reason that I think both of us got into this job is for communion and connection. And it was, not that it wasn't lovely to only spend time with you and only look at you, but I think there were weeks that both of us were like, thank fuck, it's a good feminist tonight, you know. It's going to be the presence of someone else in the house.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
yeah.
Thank you for having us, honestly. Well, you're always wonderful. It got us through lockdown as well.
You're always wonderful to have. And if you are listening to this from Australia or New Zealand, Grace and I will be touring together. Am I allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah.
In July next year.
No dramas.
Grace and I will be going around Australia and New Zealand together. And Grace will be playing wherever we are playing on the tour. So please come back out and join us for that. Tickets make great Christmas presents. Hashtag champagne socialism. Hashtag Karl Marx sold his fucking books. And if Karl Marx had had the line, they make Das Kapital makes a great Christmas present, he would have used it. Now... the Das Kapital tour.
Absolutely.
It must have happened.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us. It means so much to be back here. And the songs of the lockdown that you're playing tonight really remind me how sad and lonely and not in black tie I was. So this has just been a wonderful, joyous evening, Grace. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for the chance to share these songs. I really appreciate it.
It's just been glorious. And one final time, Grace Petrie and Folky Ben, everybody.
So, yeah, as I said, this song came out of a very specific moment in time. But, you know, it also was kind of covering a sort of more general political feeling I was having, sort of a following on from that last song. I have had this realisation in the last few years, because what has happened to me since I've been of voting age is I have lost every election. My team never win, and these days I don't know who my fucking team are. But I think that I had this sort of revelation, I suppose, or realization that there are so many people, you know, like Deb said, there are so many rights that I have as a woman, as a queer person as well. There are so many rights that I have because people basically knew in their time, then they came up and they fought for them, and in some cases they died for them. They basically knew what it's taken me 34 years to realise, which is that I might not win in my lifetime, right? That's the truth. I might not win this fight in my lifetime. I might not see the victories for these politics, but it doesn't mean that it's not worth fucking fighting, because if all of those people who won those things like women's rights and gay rights, if they'd have stopped because they realised that they might not win for themselves, I wouldn't be standing here today. So this is a song... So this is a song about better tomorrows. And I'd love it, actually, if it's okay, if you're comfortable to. If you wanted to sing the chorus, I would really appreciate that. I'm going to teach it to you line by line. So I'm going to sing a line and you're going to repeat it. And it goes like this. And if I spend my life on the losing side, if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. You can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, there's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her say, when I hold my breath,
I can hear her say. That's the chorus. We're going to do it loads of times, and I would love it if you would join in and just sing it with all your heart. This is an optimistic song, I promise, but it is called The Losing Side, and it goes like this. Thank you very, very much for having us tonight. You've been wonderful. One more time, please, Mr. Folky Ben Moss. In flames, we came here begging justice, and instead we got the blame. The peace disturbed out on the streets tonight, and watching on the BBC, you know something's not right. When mourners come with candles and with flowers, wrestled 3-on-1 and pinned down by the state's full powers. This is their world, and these have been the rules. But we have come to break it down with bloody fingernails for tools. This threat of violence, this tightrope wire, we can no longer bear it. We're all too fucking tired. No minute silence, we will sing higher. Don't tell us to light a candle when we have come to start a fire. And if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day when I hold my breath, I can hear her say she's on her way. On TV, and never think that one day you could be the enemy. That you might one day be under attack from all that should protect you, hoping someone has your back. The history books are screaming from the shelves that no government who outlaws speaking to defend ourselves has good things planned. A storm ahead I see, and not one of us will bear it without solidarity. Oh, I see trouble all my days. This ailing, failing world sends signs of fire and flood and plague. But from the rubble, from the raised, the mightiest cathedral, from these ashes we will raise. And if I spend my life on the losing side, you can lay me down knowing that I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day when I hold my breath, I can hear her say, take heart my sister. Knowing that
I tried. There's a better world, and on a quiet day, when I hold my breath, I can hear her say that she's on her way.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Grace Petrie, everybody! Thank you, Ben Moss. I've been Deborah Francis White. We've been the Guilty Feminists. Thank you so much. Good night.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with me, Deborah Francis White, special guest Grace Petrie, accompanied by Folky Ben Moss. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The Guilty Feminist theme tune was composed by Mark Hodge and produced by Nick Sheldon. The producer was Tom Sutsky for The Spontaneity Shop. Thanks to Zoe, Sally, and everyone at King's Place, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
Time for yet another instrument from Folky Ben. I know, is there no end to his talents?
Oh, Ben, we needed to ask you, what's that one called?
This one I'm holding right
now? No, the one that's hanging up.
The one that's hanging up is a mandolin.
So it's not an electric lute. That was just a confident guess from an audience member, just to be clear.
You know, who am I to mansplain what instruments are called? I'm aware that I'm a guest in this space, and I'd like you to call any of my instruments whatever you'd like to call them.
Thank you. I'll call that one Sandra then.
Yes.
The Guilty Feminist is provided exclusively from Acast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.